Hi, I'm Simon Jones, and you're listening to the Writers' Centre Norwich podcast. Today, I'm talking with Elizabeth Haynes and Melissa Brown, both municipal liaisons for the NaNoWriMo Writing Challenge, which, of course, is nearly upon us. Elizabeth is the author of many novels, including Into the Darkest Corner and Never Alone. What you might not know is that most of her writing takes place during NaNoWriMo. Mel is the author of Becoming Death and is a writing coach and YouTube vlogger.
So we're now less than a week to go before the start
of
NaNoWriMo. And I think we probably better start off just talking about what is NaNoWriMo, just in case anyone doesn't know what it is, which seems unlikely, but you never know. So it's been going for a very long time now.
It was 10-year anniversary not too long ago. So I think it's been going since 2002 because I started 2005. So I'm pretty sure it started in 2002 because I think I missed the first couple of years, but...
Yeah, and it seemed to suddenly...
It's either two or three. Do you know if it's two or three?
I think Chris Beatty first did it in 1999 with his friends for a couple of years. Okay. And I think 2002 was when it really took off.
Yeah, when the website took off.
When the website took off, yeah. So it's been going quite a while now. Yeah. Lots of novels created in many, many years.
Yeah, the internet came about then.
Yeah, it probably existed.
It wasn't really around before that.
I guess because it's national...
National, not because it started in the States, started in California.
Even though it's now extremely international.
Yeah, but the initials don't work for international.
But now it's stuck and they can't do anything about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the idea is to write 50,000 words in a month.
Yeah. Of a new project, hopefully. It doesn't have to be a new project. You can be a rebel and you can start something new. And you don't have to write fiction. You can write nonfiction as well.
And it works out to about 1,667 words a day, which actually is infinitely doable. It feels like a lot when you're talking about 50,000 words, but actually when you're talking about sort of, you know, less than 2,000 words a day, it becomes a bit less of a scary prospect.
For most people it's about an hour a day.
I think the idea of writing any big project is quite scary until you break it down into little bits. NaNoWriMo kind of forces you to do that on a daily basis.
Yes, it does.
I think the thing for me is when I realized how big 50,000 words was, and I picked up like a copy of Mice and Men, it's like, oh, that's 50,000 words. Okay, that makes more sense then.
But I guess what it does for people is focuses their minds a little bit.
It does, yeah. It's that deadline.
Yeah.
You need that deadline in order to finish, because otherwise it's like, I will write a book someday.
Yes,
and someday never arrives.
No, quite. So I know, I mean, when I did NaNoWriMo back in 2009, I'd been sort of writing a book for about 10 years and not really
I had
it.
Been for about five, so, and then it kind of kickstarts you. And it's like, it's that starting point, it's that first draft, but after that you kind of... You have to carry it on edit as well. So
it's very easy, I think, for other things to take priority because writing sometimes feels like a very self-indulgent hobby, doesn't it? It's the sort of thing you go off to your room to write without any other people, with silence. But actually, you know, if lots of people want to write a novel but have never had a good enough excuse to do it. And I think what NaNoWriMo does is gives you the excuse just to, for a month, for 30 days, to stop procrastinating and just get on with it, because why not?
Exactly. It's only a month, so... You can't really do badly.
Everything else can be put aside just for a month.
You can leave the dishes for a whole month. It won't be a very good thing afterwards. But
You can talk to your family and hopefully they'll let you do it just for those 30 days. And
Talking to your family is actually a really good idea because it increases your accountability. So I think the as much as it's tempting to keep your novel project to yourself and be very private about it, actually, the more people you tell, I mean, random people, everybody, tell everybody you're writing a novel, because then they'll all ask you, how are you getting on? And of course, it can be very embarrassing if you've been thinking about giving up. So
you feel guilty.
You do feel guilty. So it's a good idea. As well as, you know, the more you talk about your novel, I find the more ideas it gives you yourself. You know, it sort of auto-generates new ideas just by talking about your plot over and over again. So it's always a good idea to share.
And you might even get the other person in your family to do it as well, because both my partner and me now do NaNoWriMo every year together, and it's a competition. It's a competition. Who finishes first and who's better at the end.
So how important is it to hit the 50,000 word mark? Because that's kind of...
I don't think
that's
it
the
is.
Goal, but it's not essential, is it?
I don't think it is. I think putting any words down a page is important, because like the first years I did it, I got to about... The first year I did it, I got to 25. Second year I did it, I got to 40. So you get progressively better. And it's not just the writing skills. You get better at typing and actually be able to write longer documents as well. So I found it helped me with the university as well. I managed to get like whole like 7,000 words paper done in an evening because I could write quickly and I could get my thoughts down quickly and then I could edit it afterwards. So it helps with other aspects
and
as well.
And suddenly 7,500 words doesn't seem that much.
Oh, it seems like nothing. It's nothing.
I think every word is beautiful and precious, really, because it's a word you didn't have before. And, you know, you might surprise yourself and find that once the words are flowing, you get to 50,000 words actually a lot easier than you think. But if you're sort of in the third week and you're still only at 10,000 words, I think the key to it is not to give up because, you know, you might have a last minute spurt when your plot decides to take a different direction. Or in any case, even if you finish the month on 12,000 words rather than 10,000 words, that's still another 2,000 words you didn't have. So every word is brilliant, but 50,000 words is infinitely possible, infinitely doable, and indeed many more if you start to find the words flowing and you can carry on.
Yeah, I'm used to being behind every time, and I have sat down and written 10,000 words in a day before. It is not fun. I do not recommend it, but I've done it 4 years in a row, actually. So it's my usual thing. It's just one Sunday, I sit down, write 10,000 words, and that's how I get back ahead if I fall behind. It sucks, but you got to do it sometimes.
So I was doing a bit of digging before we recorded this, and I found a blog post that you wrote in 2015.
Me?
Yes, I think it was just before the last NaNoWriMo. And you were...
Was that my shouty one?
It was a bit shouty.
Yeah.
But you were complaining about people... usually around about this time who publish articles saying how NaNoWriMo is a bit pointless and a waste of time and it's the wrong way to do your writing. And I was just kind of, where do you think that attitude comes from?
I think it all ties in with literary snobbishness, which is a particular bugbear of mine. And I think the year before that, there's always one every year, so I always write a shouty blog post about this time because people who discourage people from writing in whatever form, I think, is just hideous. There's no point stamping on someone else's sandcastle, if you like, just because it's there.
I wonder sometimes if some people are slightly intimidated by the kind of explosion of creative content that's happened in the last 10 years, you know, whether it's YouTube or NaNoWriMo or Wattpad or any of these.
I think people are scared of the art sometimes, and there's something, it's like, because I do YouTube as well, so I know there are loads of YouTubers at the moment and everybody's doing different content, but it's just trying to find your own voice in it and trying to find something you enjoy. And it might be writing you enjoy, it might be reviewing a TV show that you enjoy, it's whatever you like, really. But it's finding your own voice.
So you both, I think, joined NaNoWriMo in 2005.
That's right, we did, didn't we?
Well, I think the site had a different, because I think I started before that, actually, because I was doing a 2004, I'm pretty sure. But I was at university still, so I'm pretty sure I did that.
Maybe their website's lying.
Yeah.
But they wipe it every year, don't they?
Yeah, I think the first year they changed the layout and then it wiped them all, so I think it was 2004 I started, because I was still at uni then. So.
Yeah, and have you done it every year?
Yes. Unfortunately, and I've done this. I've done the summer program as well. Sometimes at Camp NaNoWriMo, like the first year they did it, I was really big on actually promoting that for Norfolk, and we did like a whole like little camp thing. I brought in a tent, and we had a campfire thing in the library, and it was all camp themed, and it was trying to get people to write then. So I took part in those. I don't do it every time for the camp ones, but I've done it every year.
So what's the difference between the camp and the November
one? It's just held a different time of year. You don't have as much of the liaisons in it. I spent a lot of time doing it the first year because it was new and it was exciting, so I did it then in, I think it was in July. But usually we don't get involved in it. It's just another time for people to write, really.
It's April, useful particularly July, usually. For... you know, people find it quite hard in November sometimes, particularly teachers. You know, it's a really difficult time of year for a lot of people, and to be able to do it in the summer months as an alternative is you know, great. If it's November is tricky,
and the States with Thanksgiving is always a hard one as well because people are traveling.
Too many social engagements in November.
Exactly. You might have time off from work, but you might also be at your great aunt's and they aren't going to let you write.
So when it's not November, do you still write?
It depends.
Yeah, how depends does November compare to the rest of the year?
I write more in November than I do any other time of year. But when I was editing my book, I wrote every day for 2 years. that was really hard. I kind of given myself a break now, but I was writing every day for 2 years. And I gave myself, I had to write 100 words at least. So it wasn't that big of a goal. So it was just sit down and write something.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way of just starting out if you want to write every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just something rather than nothing.
I find it really difficult to write when it's not November. It's something about the momentum. It's something about the camaraderie with other people writing. They're just... isn't the same impetus to write at the times of year. So what I tend to do is I absolutely make the most of November and write like a complete fury and try and carry on into December. So I just don't stop until whatever I'm writing is finished. And then basically I spend the rest of the year editing. And editing for me is really hard work. Writing is the fun part and editing is tough.
Is horrible. I hate editing as well. It's so hard. It takes forever. And I'm a weird one because I have to handwrite to edit. I can't do it on a computer. So I have to copy everything I've written and handwrite it. And then I transfer it back afterwards. But I find I can only edit if I'm handwriting.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And editing is always tough because in your brain, you've sort of finished the project.
Yeah.
And
you've got those next ideas like shouting at you to do
it. But when you reread it, it's not very good. You want to fix it.
I think the trouble with me is... I know what's happened now, so I write to find out what's going to happen in my story, and once I've found out what happens at the end, then there's no point going really back over it again, and that's when it becomes a slog.
Yeah, when it's boring then for you, because like I've read this 27 times, I hate this book now.
There are phases we all go through, isn't it? It's the same for everybody, I think. There is a point where you want to, you know, defenestrate your laptop and give it all up, and you just have to plough through it and carry on.
Yeah,
exactly.
And clearly you have, because several of your NaNoWriMo books are published now.
Yeah, they are. All of them apart from the first one, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, and the two that I did last year, but the very first one I wrote in 2005, I did a serial killer thriller starring my boss then and all the people I worked with, and didn't bother to change anyone's names. So that one has never seen the light of day.
Did you show it to them?
They still don't know.
Well, they will now.
Yes, exactly. They'll be asking for the manuscript now.
Yes, I might just accidentally lose that particular file on my computer at some point.
Exactly.
So how did you, when you were doing those NaNoWriMos, did you have publication in mind? Or at least the first one, maybe? Did you think this could be a book?
No, I've only really considered it after my fourth year, which was the first time I had an ending. So the first three, I never really got to the end of the story. And I didn't really know how to reach the end. It's something I've never managed to achieve. But the fourth year I did it, I had a beginning, middle and end. And I started thinking, well, maybe this is something I can do something with. So I was editing the first third over and over again because I didn't know how to edit either, and I would give up and think it was hopeless. So at that point, I showed it to somebody else, a creative writing teacher, Greg Moss, who's a brilliant creative writing teacher. And he sent it to a publishing colleague for a second opinion. And that became my publisher, Myriad Editions. And that book was Into the Darkest Corner. So I kind of snuck in through the back door, really. But I would never have finished anything if it hadn't been for NaNoWriMo. That was the impetus I needed to actually write and take myself seriously as a writer.
Yeah, and like you say, whatever works for people in terms of getting words down and being creative.
Absolutely.
Doesn't really matter what their particular approach is. And
yeah.
NaNoWriMo clearly works for an awful lot of people.
And Mel's published author too. How did you go about
I self-published mine. Mine's called Becoming Death, and it's like a young adult book about Grim Reaper. So it's quite a fun, dark comedy. But I kind of owe NaNoWriMo my career as well, because I wouldn't have become a teacher had I not become a liaison and started like teaching people there. Because I didn't realize I could be a teacher, and I gained all my skills through that. I applied for jobs based on the fact I'd done NaNoWriMo and been teaching people how to write books and being able to stick to that goal and stuff. So that led me to become an English teacher and a creative writing teacher and an IT teacher. So it's really quite a cool thing. You can kind of see the process going over the years.
Yeah, and you wonder how many hundreds of thousands of people have had a similar experience.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Because it's not just about the book, it's about the whole getting to know people. I've made loads of friends through NaNoWriMo as well, and they're friends that I wouldn't have otherwise met. So it's a very important experience.
It's tremendously confidence building as well, because if you get through this and you get to December and you can call yourself a novelist. You've written a novel, and that's something a lot of people always want to do and never quite manage. So it's a fabulous achievement, and it's infinitely possible for everybody to do.
So with your coaching, I know you've got a kind of writing NaNoWriMo coaching session to kick off November with this weekend. What kind of do you put into that?
What we usually focus on is characters and plot, which are pretty much the two building blocks of writing a book. So we ask people to kind of think about what their plot's going to be ahead of time. We ask them to come up with a synopsis for it. That way they can kind of stretch it out a bit and figure out what the book's actually about. We have some kind of like team building exercises as well. So we kind of get to know each other, where people will give them like plot twists that they might want to use in their books later on. That way, when you get to week three and you're completely stuck and you can't think of anything else, you've got something to look at. And also just building up those characters, thinking about your book a little bit more, because I find a lot of people go into it completely blind with no planning, and you kind of need to do a little bit of planning, even if you're a pantser like me. Unfortunately, you've got to have at least a tiny bit of planning ahead of time.
Yeah, just to reduce your own stress levels, if nothing
exactly, because if you try and write it freehand, it doesn't work. You have to have an idea in mind, because otherwise you sit there on the first day in NaNoWriMo, and you will sit there forever not being able to think of anything.
Yeah. So how important are the regional groups to NaNoWriMo?
Really important. The first years I did NaNoWriMo, I failed every year until we had a regional group. Actually having people that I knew were doing it as well really, really helps you to actually have other people to bounce ideas off of, have other people to compare your writing to. Because it's like, if I see one of my friends is like 3,000 words ahead of me, I'm going to try and catch up. And I used to compare myself to like Chris Beatty. I always keep him on my friends list to see where he is with his novel, because if he's behind as well, I'm okay still. But it's important to have that kind of group as well, because it does make you finish it, and you have a bit of guilt as well if you haven't finished or you're getting to that last week and you're behind. I had one person, NaNoWriMo, he won't mind if I talk about Sam, that he was 15K behind the day before the end of NaNoWriMo, and he came to the right end, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to finish. And I said, well, do you have work tomorrow? No. Do you have school tomorrow? No. Then you sit down and write that tonight. And he did. And he finished with the right amount. So it's fine. So you can do it. And it's having that group there to say, don't give up. You've got another day, so why not do it?
Yeah. And that's kind of where we come in as well. We're the sort of cheerleaders that are going to be there prodding everybody who might want to give up or might be struggling. You know, we've seen here in Norfolk and in Kent, which is where I was before, the same things happen to people every year. Week one is really tricky because you think you're standing at the bottom of a mountain. It's a long way to go. Am I going to be able to do this? Well, yes, you can. You just keep going, basically. Maybe think about giving up next week if you're stuck, but carry on for now. And then week three is always difficult because, you know, you might run out of plots and think, well, I'm only at 25,000 words. How am I going to get there if I've come to the end of my story? There's always solutions to these problems. You know, we've seen most of them, haven't we? We've accomplished
most
of
them.
And the key to it is it's only 30 days. Just don't stop. Just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Don't give up like 5 days early, because those 5 days you could be writing days.
Exactly.
You can make it up.
There's always more words. Sleep is for 1st of December and Christmas shopping is for December, and just carry on. It's the, that's the tip.
Yeah, I think because you've got the family and friends kind of pressure, but I think having the regional groups, it's people who understand what you're going through as well for that
and
month.
From a practical point of view, if people have never tried sprinting before, which is, you know, where you sit down for a set amount of time, maybe 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and everybody just writes, and then you compare word counts at the end. Yeah. And it's a really effective way of suddenly you find your 2,000 words in without even really noticing it. They don't have to be good. That's the whole point. Nope. They don't have to be good because they're all editable. The trick is just to write as fast as you can and see how you get on. And you're not competing against each other, really, because although you're trying to improve your word count, what you're doing is competing against your own last word count. So somebody in the room might have a typing speed of 150 words a minute, and then it's a real struggle to match them. But actually, if you did 400 words last sprint and now you're doing 500 words, then, you know, that's a victory in itself.
If you get to 50K, you're all winners anyway, so it doesn't
really
matter.
Everybody's a winner. I think every word is a small private victory, really, to me. And every novel that comes out of it is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. There's also lots of apps to help with that as well. well. So one I always recommend is Write or Die. You can get it for your phone as well now. So if you want to write on a tablet or phone, you've got that. And then there's also Written Kitten, which is the nicer version. You get pictures of kittens every time you hit a word goal. So instead of loud noises and baby crying to spur you on with Write or Die.
And you know, it's, although it's nice to do this in a cafe or in the library with other people, all the sprints are happening online all the time. Yeah. I mean, both in the Facebook group and in the forums on the website, but also on Twitter, there's practically 24 hours a day, there's sprints running. So if you're working shifts and you can't get to any write-ins or any group meetings, then, you know, it's all there online to help you and people cheering you on every step of the way.
Yeah, it's probably not a coincidence that NaNoWriMo kind of took off at the same time that Facebook and Twitter and other channels suddenly appeared.
Because they had their forums beforehand, but they weren't as big until we had Facebook groups and Twitter for it. That made it, really.
Yeah, and the word count is largely kind of self-certified, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As in, you know, it's not like someone else is going to come and check and make sure you're telling the truth, because
there's people that sort of always every year there's people concerned that uploading your novel to the internet when you've spent a month working on this precious thing is a scary thing, because you think somebody's potentially going to steal your idea, or, you know, what happens about copyright. And actually uploading it to the site is all just about word count verification. So if anyone is worried about that, you can actually encrypt your novel first so that it's just a jumble of letters and upload that. And also for people who handwrite, you know, I know people who've done their entire 50,000 words on paper.
Mm-hmm.
What you can then do is just use a lorem ipsum generator or word generator to upload the appropriate amount of words, and you still win. You still win all the goodies. So it is based on trust, but the only person you're effectively cheating if you cheat is yourself, and that would be a real shame.
Because you won't have a book in the end, and you'll be sad you don't have a book.
Exactly.
You see everybody else with theirs.
And you'll look a bit of a fool, like me.
Definitely. So for people who want to get involved but aren't currently, what's the best way to sign up and meet up with their regional groups, whether it's here in Norwich or elsewhere?
So if you go to the NaNoWriMo website, which is NaNoWriMo.org, there's a regional forum for every region in the world, pretty much. And if there isn't, they always have like elsewhere, so they have a catch-all one. And what you do is you put your location in, it'll find your region for you, and then you can sign up to your region. You can have a look through the posts. I find it really nice actually to look at other regions, especially the really big ones. I once went on a trip to New York, and I was planning to go to their region, but we ran out of time. But I went and looked through all their stuff to see what they were doing, and kind of comparing different regions is nice sometimes, because they might have different advice than other ones. Also, I'd recommend YouTube. YouTube is great for NaNoWriMo.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good advice on there. Lots of people posting about their books like on a daily basis. So that's really good, encouraging community at the moment as well.
And you're planning to do something every day?
I am planning to do a post on YouTube every day with advice. I'm kind of working on that right now. I'm hoping to get it done over the weekend.
This is because you don't have much to do in November already.
Well, I'm going to get it done early. And then I'm going to kind of like add things on at the end of where I am. So I'm going to do like a little like hint or tip, like about 2-3 minute video. And then I'm going to try and upload one every day of the month, because to promote not only my YouTube channel, but also me as a writer, I thought it'd be a nice thing to do. I'm also going to make my ebook free during November on Amazon. So you can get the ebook for Becoming Death Free that
Excellent.
Month as well.
Brilliant. Right. Well, thanks so much for coming in. And to anyone doing NaNoWriMo, good luck with it all. And if you're in the Norfolk area, then we'll probably bump into you. But if not, let us know how you get on.
Thanks for listening. We'll aim to catch up with Elizabeth and Mel towards the end of November. If you want to take part, head over to nanowrimo.org. And if you're in the Norfolk area, be sure to head to the Millennium Library for the kickoff event at 1 p.m. on Saturday, 29th of October. You can follow us on SoundCloud or subscribe via your favourite podcast app so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. And you can send us questions on Twitter at WritersCentre and find out more about what we do around the UK on our website at writerscentrenorwich.org.uk.